want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 499, recorded live on June 7th, 2017. I'm your host, Ted Hart Hat with
Task 427 and
Info Ferret.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. And also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by our good patrons of the Geocaching Podcast. To become a contributing patron, simply click on the Patreon logo on our webpage to help keep our podcast going. From all of us at the Geocaching Podcast, we thank you. And yes, I also want to say thank you to several people that hooked into our Patreon on the Geocaching Podcast. Thank you so much for joining up with the rest of the contributing factor. We do greatly, greatly appreciate it. So, hey, gang, how's it going?
Hey.
Yeah, it's
pretty good. One more show to 500, eh?
I know it. Now, I did a lot of stuff, and what I think we're going to do, because Scott's still out. We got a briefing from him last week. He did make finally his 100 months of First to Find. So kudos to Scott for doing that. I'm dying to find out if he's going to do 101 or not. Does the bug keep you going, or is it like, phew, it's over? I mean, that's 8 years, eight plus years is a lot.
If the opportunity presents itself for an easy first to find, it will definitely keep going.
Yeah.
And as long as the easy ones, but you know, the driving out 50 miles.
Oh, yeah.
One at the last minute of the last day.
Yeah.
You know, that'll be the death knell when it comes down to one of those.
Oh, yeah. It's just to the point where you just go, yeah. No, that's it. Nah.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it.
I can understand that. I did a geo streak a couple of years back and inched it out to the year. Thought, yeah, I've done 366 days. I'll keep going till it stops being fun. And I only lasted about another 20 days before I realized
the fun,
hey, I actually won a life. but there's a guy I know in Wellington who's coming up to 1,500 days straight cation.
Holy cow.
It's a bit mad.
Wow. Right?
There's only so much fun I was prepared
if you were in the situation of retired, this is part of your behavior by that point, this is what you do, go for it. But I we'll talk about this, is that's exactly what we're going to be talking about tonight, is some of these contests that geocaching.com has put us through. And I've gotten to points where literally, like one of the ones that we had before, where it just got to be work. And when it's work, it's like, we'll talk about those in a little bit. Because tonight we're going to be talking about souvenirs. Not only the new 2017 summer program that just got announced, but I thought, you know what? It'd be interesting to kind of go back in time and take a look and see what we've actually had a chance to go through and how many souvenirs that you've gone through. Because some people just don't get into it, you know. But if you do get into it, you know, you look back and go, I remember that. So that's what we'll be going through talking about tonight. As far as geocaching, not a whole lot for me. I have to admit, I just have not had – I've had so much other things coming up dealing with life's issues. Let's just call it that way. And went through and some health things for my foot that I now no longer have to walk around like a 90-year-old man. Oh, my God. I got a cortisone shot in my ankle, and I've the pain's gone. It's like, oh my gosh, it's completely.
Yeah, those can be amazing.
Completely.
You're taking up that line dancing again.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I got myself so worked up. This is one of the times. Now I'm like, I'm a big, strong guy. I can take anything. I was terrified, absolutely terrified of this shot. I'm like, foot needles don't go together. I'll take a shot anywhere, but. Not in the foot. And yeah. Literally, the guy came in, completely put me at ease, went through the procedure, which took about, I don't know, it seemed like 20 minutes, but probably 5 minutes to go through. Didn't feel a thing. So I literally worked it up in my head so bad that they're going to harpoon me with this, you know, 4-inch needle and nothing. Absolutely nothing. So, but and the kicker is no more pain. I don't have the hard right. pain like I used to. So I am a happy camper. But things like that, though, you just stuff in life kind of slows things down for a bit, and hopefully it'll pick back up. Taz, how much stuff? How's things going?
Took a little caching hiatus. So it was like after Geo Woodstock, I was a little burnout. I was like, look, I need to sit down and relax for a weekend. And kind of recover from the illness and the caching. So
you did have Barry White down very nicely last week. You had Barry White going there.
Thank you. Yeah. I was channeling him.
Well, I was just sneezing like a steam train or something. But I don't know. You guys are coming into summer. What do you call this? I don't know.
Laziness. Anyway. I'll be the first to say it.
Sanity. Right? Okay.
Just saying.
Well, we had a long weekend. It's why I don't know, but it's Queen's birthday weekend. So thanks to Her Majesty, we get an extra day off.
See, royalty.
I don't know. Being part of the former colonies does have its benefits at times. Well, Commonwealth, don't you know? Anyway, long weekend. So on the Friday evening, I got the ferry from Wellington over to the South Island. Picked up a cheap hire car, which had, well, put it this way, my sewing machine has more power than that does. I've got a pretty good sewing machine, but it still has more power than that little Nissan Tilda, whatever it is. Probably more or less the colour of the backdrop of Chad, sort of a. I think it's meant to be called champagne colour, but sort of muddy goldy brown.
Right.
And I drove between Picton, where the ferry is, Nelson and Blenheim, picking up Cassius, and my share of DNFs, and two FU Cassius, if I don't count.
I see Scott's rubbing off.
You walk in, there's one of them, you walk down a track to the beach, and there's a tree growing out over the beach. And you can see the cache, which is a bison, on a cord dangling from this tree.
Oh.
And I'm about 2 foot too short, even reaching up, to get this thing. And, you know, had one of the kids with me, I'd have put them on my shoulders, and that would have been no problem.
Right.
Or had I had two or three people, there was enough big bits of driftwood you could have dragged across, stood on, and reached it, no problem. But I wasn't climbing that tree because I was on my own, and I thought, well, you can imagine what I thought. And the second one, similar, was a concrete lamppost with three metal bands around it, which theoretically you could use to climb up this concrete lamppost, which is the cache that was stuck about 20 foot up.
Right.
No.
That could be an unpleasant slide down.
Well, I put it this way. I could have got it up there. I could have got it off, but there was no way I'd have managed to get it back. So that's why I said FU Cassius. And the final day on the Monday, I met up with a friend of mine from Wellington who'd been staying with a couple of friends of hers. And there's a quick way from Blenheim to Picton, which is just straight up the main road. Or there's an interesting way, which is round... all sorts of twisty, turny tracks, and that's fine, and gravel is no problem. Then we took the little turn off because there's a place called Port Underwood, which is about half a dozen houses at most now. You know, one of these places that was much bigger 100 years ago.
Right.
But the interesting road out to the port, final Port Underwood cache, it's a forestry road, so gravel, no, it's just track. And I'm fine driving it, fine driving that sort of track on the flat, but it wasn't. How on earth that little sewing machine of a car got to the end of it, I do not know, and got back.
I think I can.
And it's a good thing the colour of the hire car matched the colour of the mud. That's all I'll say.
Wow.
So just over 100 caches. I'm still waiting on... yeah, you can log it for one of the other caches.
Oh, wow. Fantastic.
So that's my... I don't think I'll be having much more... We don't have any more long weekends till October, so that's the last of the big runs that I know of for the moment.
Dang, that's doing some traveling. That's amazing. Good stuff.
Yeah, it was about 500 kilometers in total.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's a way to do it for driving in a sewing machine. I'm just saying. Woo! Wow, good stuff. All right, let's move on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. And what's coming up this week on GeoGearheads is episode 284, Logging 3. I don't know what this means. Sometimes Daryl gets a little cryptic. It just says, with the changes in the landscape, it's time again to look at different methods of logging geocaches. Now, what does that mean?
I think part of it might have to do with the way that you log needs maintenance and archive.
Because
a lot of that stuff is now kind of like tagging on as a option as opposed to making multiple logs.
Right.
And one of the things I like that I really liked is the ability to kind of pre-append your pictures now as opposed to having to edit add your pictures in later. But you know, I think some of those things might be discussed.
Awesome. All right, good things to know. And yeah, I mean, times change, things change, applications change. That's how things go. So be sure to stop on by for GeoGearheads tomorrow and check that out. But before you do, stop on by for GeoSnippets Reboot Podcast, where Amy and I will be discussing something with geocaching, which usually means I still don't know what the subject's going to be, but I'll know by tomorrow's show. That's how that goes.
That sounds like me. That sounds like me in this podcast.
I can't
wake up and think, what are we talking about in 4 hours' time?
Yeah, see, the same thing happens with Amy. She walks in, sits down, and whatever I have on the screen, that's what we're talking about. So, yeah, I just, stuff I had to do today, and I just didn't, I got enough to get today's show set up. But I can't do like Daryl, where he's got it booked until 2020. I can't do it. I just can't do it. So, yeah, that's how that goes. Also, finally, please consider becoming a patron to our show. Again, I want to say thank you to the patrons that just started up. Welcome, and thank you so much. It does take money to do a podcast, and we do it each and every week. So we have bills each week. We have bills every month. We got bills at the end of the year. We got bills. It's what happens. So if you could, please consider becoming a patron to the show and a contributing factor. It literally helps keep us going, and we greatly want to thank everybody that does. And for the people that aren't and are considering about it, get off the feds, stop on by, hit either our Patreon or our PayPal places on our website, and if you could throw us a couple bucks each month, we would greatly appreciate it. All right, good stuff. Let's move on. Mailbag, nothing this week, which I was kind of surprised, but if you want to, if you've got something like information about some of the geocaching that you've done in recently or about to do, if you've got different milestones, things that you want to talk about stuff that we've talked on the show in the past episodes, what have you, please consider sending to our GCPC mailbag, which is simply gcpcmailbag@gmail.com, and just send those to us. We love having that on the show, and we love hearing comments from you guys, because that way we know well, you know, it's so much easier when we hear from you guys of things that you like us to talk about or things that we talked about in the past as opposed to us just kind of guessing. So thank you for all that, and send it to a gcpcmailbag@gmail.com. All right, the news. Taz is going to keep this really short and sweet, because we're actually going to talk about this in depth in just a few minutes. So, Taz, I'm actually going to do this, and we'll see what it has.
The news. Announcements of the Geocaching 2017 Summer Promotion. All details about Captain Mary Hyde and her lost treasure in tonight's show.
Yep, more to be coming with that. We got a lot of details. And it kind of set the precedent for actually doing this show because of the new stuff that, that came out of Geocaching HQ. And it's like, it instantly brought out discussion because Sarah kind of said some things in that says, well, doesn't this kind of remind us of other situations that we've had in the past and how did that affect you? So I thought, well, why don't we talk about this? There are so many souvenirs that are out there now. I don't know what the total is, but there's a bunch. And if you don't know what a souvenir is, it's kind of a digital representation of some sort of accomplishment that you've done to gain this little reward graphic. And I have to admit, let's start on the subject right from the beginning, where souvenirs versus here's some code that you can put on your profile. Which do you prefer?
Souvenirs.
Chad says
code somewhere ain't gonna happen. So souvenirs definitely.
Yeah, I think they tried doing it. Now I understand that a graphic that has to be saved on a server that gets hit every time it gets looked at can cause flow issues if this was something that was happening all the time. But these little 5K graphics are teeny tiny. They're itty bitty. Mm-hmm. And for a while there, everybody was gangbusters about souvenirs. And then all of a sudden they started doing a couple of things with, well, we'll send you this HTML code that you can put in your profile. And I kind of went, why are we going backwards?
Like the Halloween one that just about everybody seems to have.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, I mean, the nice thing about souvenirs is when you do gain them, there's a whole section in your actual geocaching.com profile that nicely, semi-nicely, projects all the ones that you have. I wish there were some ways of sorting a little bit with it.
Yeah.
But it's still, you got all of them there. You can look to see what they look like. You can expand them and see about who created them and what they mean and all that fun stuff. So souvenirs always was just a little bit better. I don't know if it was just a millennial type thing, kind of a reward system kind of thing, but it's a way of saying, hey, here's this little trinket that you have that you've accomplished something. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I like them. I mean, I'll be honest with you, Amy and I, when we go to, and we're trying something and a souvenir is made available, we instantly look to see what they look like and go make sure that we got them.
Right.
Yeah. So, guilty as charged on that one as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of a, you know, it's kind of like a fortune cookie. You got the little message inside, you just got to see. You know, it's kind of like that. So I thought it would be interesting if we just kind of go over some of the stuff and then at the very end, we'll talk about the summer promotion that geocaching.com is doing with it. Now, we're going to have the links to these, and some of them are pretty general, but we're going to have the links where you can actually, if you want to go and check out all the geocaching.com souvenirs, you'll be able to go and look them up yourself for things like that. Now, I'll put you guys on the spot. Do you have a rough idea how many souvenirs you actually have right now? Because I actually had to go count them.
I had to count. So when I saw the show notes today, it was like I went and counted. I've got 11 squared.
11 squared, really?
Which is 121.
Yep.
You actually had me.
I've got a mere. Project DC reckons I've got a mere 79 of them.
Okay, not bad. So Chad, see, I think the Ape Cache one equals like 10, so I'm just saying. No, I actually have 85.
No. I think you should have some taken off for that, for being a smart ass. Of course,
Just saying. Yeah. So I've got 85, which I thought was okay. That was pretty cool. And it's because of some of these summertime promotions I think I have so many. Is because it really encourages. Because
you guys have this, you get onto the geographical souvenirs, the sort of ones you get for turning up and locking a case in that place.
Right.
You've got lots of them for the states.
Yes.
I've got 22 states.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a fair amount.
When somebody flies into Georgia to go to North Carolina to just so that we could pick up states, or I'm just as guilty.
It wasn't to pick up states. It was to pick up Lake Lanier. I needed Lake Lanier for my jasmine.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I'm just saying. But yeah, it's definitely part of the equation because there's times where I drove. I think when I went to MOGA for MOGA last year, 2016, Amy didn't have like we went through the Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio way of getting over to where MOGA was, and there's a longer route that you can do where you could go from Ohio through Tennessee and Kentucky. And then over that way, and she didn't have those states. So, of course, we took the longer trip to get back just so that. And then, of course, Scott Burks is notorious for, hey, it's only the other side of the country. Let's go and go that route. Yeah. So, yeah, it's definitely picking up the states and the souvenirs is part of the equation.
Yeah. Well, my country ones are just not other side of the state, other side of the planet, because all I've – the only countries ones I've got are New Zealand and the UK.
Yeah. I'm not any better. I literally only have United States. I could throw a rock where I lived in Michigan and hit Canada and have never gotten a geocache yet from Canada. I mean, now I'm down in North Carolina, but even when I visit, I'm so busy doing other things with my family and stuff, I can't get over the border to just go over and get some geocaches.
And then when you think of all the traveling that you've done.
Oh, God, yeah.
For geocaching.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Number of countries, number of states.
Yes.
I mean, I've been to every all but four states in the U.S.
Yes.
But I've only got 22 of them for geocaching.
Yeah, same here. I've probably been in at least 35 or so states, Canada, Mexico, just, you know, tons and tons. I had an opportunity of going over to Europe and that just didn't work out. But if I did, holy smokes. And like you said, now it's like, when can we go? Just to get up.
Go to Germany and you can pick up half a ton of them. Because Germany, sort of the different districts have been each given their own little, like Ireland, the county, main counties have got them.
Yeah.
In it,
well, you get one cache there, you get at least two souvenirs. You get one Deutschland and then one for the region. So I've got Deutschland and Hessen.
Mm-hmm. I'm just counting here.
Hessen. Hessische.
Hessen.
Yeah, good Gesundheit. Yeah. Yeah, now I am curious though is there's what 175 countries that we're actually in with geocaching, and there's two that we can't, North Korea and someplace else. And there's only 40 country souvenirs, judging by this list here. Only 40.
Yep, I waited for a long time for them to do China and Turkey.
Right.
I finally came up with those within the last year. And then I'm still waiting on the Bahamas.
Oh, yeah.
They haven't got India. I mean, the one that's skimming the list that gets me is they haven't got India.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
And good large chunks of Africa aren't on there. In fact, find me an African one on there.
Yeah. Now, I do know that
India is even less sparsely geocache populated than China is.
Yeah.
And the last time I was there, I was a geocacher, but there weren't any caches around.
Was that one of the ones that you had to almost illegally cross the border to get, or was that something else? I don't remember.
China's one where in Xi'an, China, by the Terracotta Warriors exhibit, they had roped off the area where the one cache within 100 miles of Xi'an, China, was. And said, no trespassing, or do not cross, yada, yada, yada. But it's...
Those Americans.
It's like, okay, I'm doing this, and the Chinese person with me is like, no, I stay here. Okay.
Yeah, the dumb
it's
Americans.
Crazy
round eye. Yeah, just gonna say. But I just find it interesting why it would take so long. Yeah, obviously, technologically, if you look at, like, on the geocaching podcast website, we've got the spinning globe, and anybody who goes onto our website, wherever they live, a little point shows up on the globe, and you can see the hotspots. You can see the areas that are what I would call probably much more technically savvy when it comes to geocaching. And you can definitely see where there are spots that just have nothing. I mean, Russia, for the longest time, one or two, if that. So obviously, for whatever motivation politically or whatever reason that a country has for the type of thing that geocaching does, where I could see where they may not make a country souvenir for that, but I would expect more than what we've got now. Australia.
It gives them something to add in a couple of years' time and make a whole new post out of.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So, Sarah, since you're basically rock throwing distance from Australia, there in New Zealand.
Couple of hours flight, couple of hundred dollars. Yeah, it's possible, but that would require me to go out and fly over there and look around snakes and nasty spiders and
yes,
when you, and all sorts of things that are going
to
kill me.
Go to a country that's designed to kill you, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come on, where's your lack of adventure? I don't understand. But they do have quite a few souvenirs. Now, are these...
They do.
Okay, so some of the ones that they have, we're not going to go through each country and all this stuff, but I'm just curious because Sarah lives nearby.
They're like the sort of different states.
Okay.
That you've got.
So is it like a territory or... states.
Yeah. ACT is small. That's the Canberra area. Any Aussies listening, don't shoot me. Northern Territory's hot. Queensland's where all surface paradise and all the people go for holidays, and a lot of New Zealand expats go over there and swan about.
Is that the tourist area?
Northeast coast, I think.
One of, yeah. Yeah. South Australia is nice.
Right.
Tasmania is a little an island off the south coast of Australia.
I just want to go there. I just want to have a souvenir that says Tasmania. Because I'm a big Taz fan. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Tasmania are quite fancy going to.
Yeah.
And Western Australia is way over the other side. That's a long, long way.
And I think people scale Australia like I know that a lot of European folk scale the United States. They have absolutely no concept of the actual distance from one side of the continent to the other when it comes to Australia. It's not a hop, skip, and a jump when you go from the East Coast to the West Coast, just as much as it's not a hop, skip, and a jump from going from the East Coast to the West Coast to the United States.
Well, you can get from the East Coast to the West Coast by land, but it's a long, long drive through desert.
Exactly. And
most people hop on a plane.
Well, if you fly on a plane, just out of curiosity, now if you fly from I'm on the East Coast, I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina, to fly to Los Angeles takes about 5 hours to fly from here to there, give or take. How long does it take to fly a plane from the east side to the west side from Australia?
I'm just about to Google. I'm sorry, I'm just doing a quick Google on that.
Yeah.
On that. Times.
Because I think that would show the scale.
It's got to be four hours.
From Perth to Sydney.
Okay.
Which is one coast to the other, is four and a quarter hours on the
So it's about the same distance.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
And
so
it's a couple of hours across the Tasman to New Zealand after that.
Right. So it's obviously, I'm just saying, if you're planning a trip and you're going to go to Australia, it's not a day trip to just drive from one spot to the other in on that country. So I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, their territories are huge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've had friends.
Yeah, I mean, some of them.
Yeah, I've had friends from Europe, et cetera, and said, so you're in Raleigh, so is it just a couple hours drive to Los Angeles? And it's like, no. So it's all concept of scale.
Yeah.
All right.
I've looked at it sometime, and it's possible to cover all your mainland states in about 7 days of driving if you basically don't stop.
Yeah. Yeah, if you don't stop, there is actually tracks. There are routes that people have made from geocaching that you can hit the 48 lower states in about a week, 8 days. If you don't stop and you're doing one geocache that's a, you know, skirt hide for each state, that'll about do it. But otherwise, you got a long trip to hit everything.
I was going to say,
you're trying to
have to be a fortnight's holiday.
Yeah.
If you're trying to do like 10-hour day kind of drives, I mean, the driving time from where I live to Shreveport, Louisiana, which is relatively central, 29 hours by the short route.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot.
It's a lot. So, you know, you're if you're going cross country, you're talking probably 50 hours drive.
Just across,
coast to coast.
Yeah, just a straight line.
And if you want to stick in Mingo and the Ape Cache and all the other.
Oh, forget it. Yeah. Just take a month and enjoy, because that's going to be what you need.
Yeah.
Yeah. Canada ones, they break it down by their provinces through that. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 different souvenirs you can get for Canada. Ireland has 5, which I think is cool.
Hold on a sec. Yeah, Ireland has 5.
And I'm kind of surprised. Now, is that, and again, this is dumb America. I have no idea, so... For the people of our friends in Ireland, I apologize. Are they provinces as well for the difference? Because you got called, Dublin and Leinster.
I'm trying to find. Yeah, there are provinces, but they've got listed Ulster, Leinster, I can't pronounce it, sorry. Munster on the first side.
Yeah.
Oh, they put Ulster as well. And Dublin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Ireland definitely gets, not the counties, for sure.
Because, Ireland gets political.
Does it?
Very.
Okay. Germany has a bunch that they go through. They got 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18 of those.
So they're very proud sort of little areas, and each of them has their own, a lot of them have their own specific dialect.
Okay. I did not know that.
I did German for a year at school, and I was terrible at it. Really, really bad. I just couldn't hack the grammar. But there's Hochdeutsch, or High German.
Right.
Which is, everybody speaks. And then there's things like Hessische and Tyrol or whatever. And they're effectively the local dialects, which may or may not be understandable by somebody who doesn't speak them.
See, I wonder how that works, because, okay, just a simple example, Canada, where you have you get near Montreal and some of the other provinces that are more of a French...
Le Québécois!
Yes. Yeah. And the rest are English. But yet you still have the, you know, for the folks that don't know French, the barrier there of language.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I did French at school because I had to. And by the time I was 16, my French actually was fairly reasonable for a Brit. But I was over in Canada way before geocaching, damn it. And I could hear Quebecois, and I could sort of recognize it as French just about, but I just couldn't translate it mentally. I just hadn't got my ear tuned to that accent at all.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, Montreal was the first area that I went where it was very prominently French, and that's the first time where I've experienced have no clue being in a country or an area that speaks a different language, and I'd have no idea. I'm looking at signs just going, I don't get it. I don't know. Is it a grocery store? Is it a gun store? Well, they don't have guns in that part of Canada. But you know what I mean. You just have no clue. You have no clue where you're at or what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Try to look through the Cajun French. I mean, that is a... definitely a murdered language. And so, you know, all of them were from Canada, Acadian, and that's where the term Cajun actually winds up coming
yes.
from. That's where the Acadian down to that region, and then they picked up the French language, and so they butchered it more. And
oh, yeah.
Well, come on, isn't that how English gets new words?
Absolutely.
It steals it from whatever language it came from and pronounces it badly.
There's people in the United States with English that, depending on what part of the country you're at, I can't understand. Most of the drawls I can understand, most of the things. There is a language from a island that's on the East Coast where they literally have clicks in the language. I mean, it's whoa. But so you learn this stuff or you stay away. One of the two. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if I came out with Broad Geordie or Yorkshire, you'd have problems.
Oh, Yorkshire, yeah.
I have to tag off any godlike.
Gesundheit. Exactly. So it's just interesting how much.
I apologize.
No. It's interesting how much the language barrier affects everything with stuff. I mean, just for the people that listen to our podcast, generally English, obviously, but just trails of other countries that either know just enough English to, heaven forbid, they're trying to learn it from us, and be able to understand it. But you could definitely see the barriers when it comes to language with that.
And I, as an aside, when I was out at the weekend, I picked up two travel bugs that had started out in Germany. And one of the things I did because I picked them up, I couldn't log them on my phone because, one, I was trying not to, trying to save some data. But I got home, looked up the missions. Fortunately, there were things that I can actually do. But the first thing I did was jumped onto Google Translate and said, and translated the missions into English and pasted that in the case logs.
Oh, yeah.
For that trackable. So at least people coming afterwards have some idea whether they can help or whether they can help or not.
Right. Yeah, I can't even imagine going to Germany or something like that and having to Google everything just to try to understand what you're doing.
Most Germans speak excellent English. Yes. Speak better English than I do.
Yeah.
One of the things that I actually started doing with the travel bugs that I would release is actually put it in English and in German, because all my travel bugs wind up in Germany. So it's
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
German so that, you know, in case they have a difficult time reading it, at least they have a Google translated German version.
There you go.
Yeah.
Might not be accurate, but they'll get the point.
It's good enough. Yes, I must admit, I'm planning to head over to France for a couple of days later this year. And I've been using French case pages as a quick revision to try and get my French up to something like even vaguely usable. But yeah, should be fun.
Absolutely. All right, so of course, United States, we've got for each of the states in Washington, D.C. for that. Interesting that for all the states and that the different ways people perceived the states. Now, I understand the metaphor for Michigan, because if you look at the souvenir for Michigan, it shows the upper and lower peninsula of Michigan with mittens. I get it. But it's like, okay, that's the best we can do. I was a little picky. You've got the Great Lakes State, the largest lakes, freshland lakes in the world, and they went for the mitten. I'm just saying. Personal preferences.
They've got Tower Bridge, which, that's London. It's not the rest of them.
Especially now. All right, so let's go over some souvenirs for specific dates and time periods. We're going to go back in time. We're going to start from the most current, except for the one that we'll wrap up with tonight, which is the one for the summer. For 2017, they've got is Donnerstag? Is that it? Close? Donnerstag, the one that we had from Germany. Mm-hmm. They got Sito Week, which is varies from year to year. You'll find out about that in a little bit. Celebrating 3 million active geocaches, which there were two for that, if I remember right. Yes, one for if you went out and got a geocache, and two for if you own a geocache that was out. And then wonderful Blue Switch Day, which dealt with the turning on or off of selective availability for the satellite system.
Yeah.
So those...
And there's a Canada Day one coming up as well.
Is there? Oh, they don't have that one in the list. Well, that's
July 1st.
Is it? Excellent.
So, yeah. Oh, Canada.
Well, then we've got some proud Canadians out there, which is what they should have. I still need to find out what the heck Bowling Day is, but I'm just saying.
I'm a bit disappointed that there are no worldwide flash mobs around me, but there are 3 Canada Days around me. That's a shame.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's yeah, it's amazing. Let's yep. We're going to go back to 2016 now. Hello 2016 was a dual souvenir that actually tagged up with Goodbye 2015. So those two went together. Leap year was a big year in 2016 because you had the Leap Day souvenir, and then they weren't good enough with just Leap Day. You had a Leap Day weekend that you could get a souvenir that went with that. Also for Sito Week, they had one in April and September for last year. And then, of course, the let's get the people off their duffs and out geocaching with Get Outdoors Day, which was another souvenir that they had for 2016. Mission GC was, I thought, a lot of fun. And just to kind of go over what Mission GC, it was kind of a spy thing where you would go off and try to solve or decode certain things, which was really neat. Fun. Huh?
Those were very fun. I heard some people got very frustrated.
They were actually semi-difficult. Yeah. And I say semi with the loving term because a couple of them blew me right out of the water. So it took a couple where Scott just said, Andy, this is the answer. This is what you need. So it was one of those things. I tried, though. I got to admit, I'm not the greatest one to puzzle cache type things. But it was at least a challenge where you could go through it. Okay, I really got to do some research and figure this part out. And the way
do I figure this out? Do I do the research? Or do I sit and wait on Facebook for somebody else to
just prop it up? Yeah. Darn the internet, it just cuts right to the chase nowadays. But yeah, it was neat where they sat there and said something like, your mission should you choose to accept it involves decoding these messages and securing these souvenirs for your geocaching profile. Fair warning, this isn't mission difficult, it's mission GC. So they were actually putting some really good creative thought with you. And I give them all the kudos in the world to geocaching.com for doing that. And they worked it basically where you had 3 weeks to one for each week to go through and get your different souvenirs. They had favorites are forever, one cache is not enough, no spy themes here, international cache of mystery, and mission GC accomplished if you got all of them. So it was pretty cool that they went through for that. And it was a lot of fun. The International Geocaching Day and International Earth Cache Day was going on. Now, I'm surprised they don't have those this year. So that's interesting.
It seems like those are kind of off and on.
Yeah,
they've had them a couple different years, but it's been inconsistent.
Yeah, it's it's interesting like where they kind of go, this will be a good year to do that. Because to me, geocaching is international anyways, but I mean, that's just all part of the fun. Why not just bring it up to the whole family on the planet? Haunted Hides was a fun one, but again, that one I don't... Did they actually have the souvenir for that, or was that a profile? I don't remember.
They did both.
They did both.
So you do have it in your souvenirs, but they also gave you the HTML code for your profile.
Right. The other one that they did not mention this year that they are going to have is the GIF. They had GIF 2016, so they had a souvenir for that. Mm-hmm. So lots of you know, not too much stuff, not too many throwing out with souvenirs, but enough to keep interest around the year, which I love. 2015, I don't know why Pi Day was huge, but I've got like two or three geocoins that are literally Pi related. That was a big thing.
It was when you combine the day, the month, the day, and the year.
Yeah, how many times do you get that opportunity?
You don't get that very often. But you know, my saying is every day is Pi Day because every day you can find within the value of Pi.
Yes, exactly.
And most people just look at me like, yeah. You're
I thought you were making a comment. I thought you were making some comments about your dietary choices there. Every day is a pie. Like Kinley pie, potato, chopped pie, mince and cheese pie, Mexican pie.
Oh, see, she just rifled off four I haven't tried before, so I'm going to have to add that to my list.
That's one thing. I had the most. There's a place in Picton that's a bakery, and it does really, really good. I mean, there's queues out the door.
Right.
But I have a new all-time favorite pie.
Okay,
and
which
these
is?
Are about steak, kidney, bacon, and mushroom pie.
All right. I try it.
Yeah. Might not be kosher.
I'm not. That don't matter to me. Do I look like I care about things like that? I'm just saying.
Some people might.
Yeah. No, that actually sounds good.
Not kosher, not halal.
That's awesome.
Sorry,
see,
but it was
that's why I love Sarah on the show. We learned so much. We just do. So yeah, Pi Day was huge. Pi Day was huge. I remember. I think GX Proxy, Coins and Pins, and Cash Advance all had different types of different Pi geocoins, and they were all cool. They were all really, really well done. Neat stuff. CETO Week was on the 2015. Of course, the 15 years of geocaching. And then their summer thing that they did in 2015 was Road Trip 2015, which I thought was a riot, too, because it was emphasis on get your butt out and go someplace. Lots of different things. From June 19th through September 2nd, you had five sets of weekends to either find a geocache, attend. You know, it's a basic premise, but add a twist to it. You want to make it set up to go out.
I was cursing the middle one.
Oh, where are you now?
T5 or D5 geocache. Yeah, because T5? Around here, yes, they're awesome. But it's the middle of freaking winter.
Yeah, you do have that little disadvantage. It's not like us where we're in...
sort of a puzzle.
It's not like us where we were in flip-flops and heading for the beach. You were winter.
Oh, put the fleece on, put the down jacket on, and turn the heat pump up.
And chip out the geocache as you go. Well, we know what the winter geocache is like. But, yeah, they had a lot of stuff with that. They had Fun with Favorites, High Five for the Earth, Let's Get Extreme, Meet Your Road Trip Crew, Put on Your Thinking Cap, and the Road Trip Hero were the souvenirs that you could get through them. So I love that. That really was cool things where it's like, all right, let's get out with the idea and the theme of get out and go do some video caches away from your, you know, get out of your norm and go have a road trip, which is awesome. A lot of the stuff that they had were back then were similar to 2016 with Geocaching Day and Earth Cache Day, GIF 2015, and the Goodbye 2015, which I thought was interesting. It was a New Year's thing.
Yeah.
And so on New Year's Eve Day, if you got a geocache, you've got the Goodbye 2015 souvenir, and that tied into Hello 2016, where on New Year's Day you go out and get a geocache, and they tied together, which was awesome. So Cool stuff on that. 2014, this one I really loved, was the Maker Madness.
That was fun.
The idea was to go out and have an event and just talk about creative geocaches and making geocaches and how to get geocaches out into the world. And, you know, when you get thinking, this was really when WV Tim was really doing a lot of stuff. Not that he never doesn't. He's constantly doing things. But they actually used WV Tim's workbench as the background for the souvenir for Maker Madness. And
the events, Tim had contests and stuff where you basically, people who make the most entertaining container, people that make the most difficult to get into container.
Oh yeah.
Different types of containers. And so, yeah, that was really fun. I thought too.
Awesome stuff. And it just brought out the creativity for everybody. And I think that's one of the things that I really do like about the different challenges, if you want to call them that, that Geocaching HQ does for this. They're touching different aspects, different themes to go for.
They challenge you to just do something a little bit different. You wouldn't have done otherwise. Yeah.
Yeah.
For all I'm slagging off the T5 challenge in the middle of winter, it made us think. It made us solve puzzles.
Exactly. Exactly. And it to kind of force you out of your comfort zone sometimes to try new things. And I love that. CETO week they had, of course. Now, this is the last one where they had the official worldwide flash mob as a souvenir, was in 2014. And then, of course, this walked right into the seven souvenirs of August. And I think this was one of the first week where they had multiple stuff that you had to do similar to the ones that we've had recently. For example, you had the Achiever. For the seven souvenirs of August, you had the Achiever, which visit your trophy case after earning all six of the other souvenirs. You had the Collector, which is log a found it on a virtual Where I Go letterbox hybrid or webcam. Again, forcing you to kind of go into, or I should say encouraging. Force may not be the right word. Encouraging you go out and find different types of geocaches. The Explorer, which was found log a found it on a traditional geocache. The Nature Lover, which was log I found it on an Earth cache or an attended for a CETO event, and I still remember the Earth cache. I went going for that one because it was one of the ones that was not near my house. It's probably about 40 miles away, and it was one of the largest free-form granite slabs that's in this part of the country. And just gorgeous waterfalls and the whole shot, and I never would have known. I mean, you literally, to get to it, you stopped on the side of a not a major highway, it's just one of those two-lane highways, and there was just a trail with a 2x2 sign that said, you know, park area or whatever. You wouldn't know it if you blew by it. But because the geocaching was able to, Amy and I went out and actually met some other geocachers just for that one. The Puzzler, log found it on a mystery cache. The Sightseer, log a found it on the multi-cache, and the Socializer, log an attended for an event cache, mega, or giga event. And again, this one was a little more work because there was more souvenirs if you really wanted the Achiever, the last to get all of them. So a little more work put into it.
Yeah.
But just, again, lots of fun. Go out, break your stride, and try something new usually. Of course, they had Geocaching Day and Earth Day. And then 2013, they had CETO Week. Geocaching Get Outdoors Day. I don't think we have as much of those anymore. For several years back then, it was like, hey, go geocaching. Go out and go. Go have fun. 2013 was the Worldwide Flash Mob. And then the other one, the ultimate, the one that everyone who has gone through it and experience talks about, the 31 days of geocaching.
Which tried to kill me.
Yes, it tried to kill a lot of people.
It literally put me in the hospital.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
Yeah, four days in the hospital with pneumonia.
It still went out.
I was going out and going out and going out. Didn't realize that I had pneumonia. I went and saw the doctor. I had the fever and stuff. But it was a fungal-based pneumonia originally.
Yeah.
And so some of the symptoms weren't presenting.
Right.
And then, and you know, I'm out with a 104-degree fever, and it's about 105 degrees outside. Trudging through the woods to get one, it's like, you know, I don't feel so good. Go back home, ice pack, Tylenol and everything, and, yep. And it's like, okay, sit down. And then a few hours later, I realize my heart is racing and everything's going on. It's like, yeah, I need to go to the ER. Go to the ER, it's like, hey, congratulations, you're in sepsis.
Oh, geez.
So,
oh, yeah. So,
yeah.
You know, my heart's racing, blood pressure's up, fever, and everything. And it's like, oh, and here's the reason why. You know, you've got pneumonia, and you not only have bacterial based, but you have fungal based pneumonia. Now, how in the world you got both of those? We're not sure.
I'm a geocacher.
Exactly. So, yeah. It's like, your butt's in the hospital. It's like, but I gotta finish my challenge.
Didn't you have a couple of Earth caches up your sleeve?
No, I didn't. Unfortunately, I mean, if I was smart, I would have had some challenges, kind of sitting on the side, ready to sign. You know, I know a few people that have used that to stretch their streak.
Oh yeah,
but. Yeah, at that time, yeah, I wasn't thinking like that.
Wow. Yeah, no, I do remember August 2nd, because if you didn't know, the 31 days of geocaching, you had to find a geocache every day in August in 2013. And, or actually, was it 2012? 2013.
2013, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So basically, in the case with that, the other part that, yeah, it was 2013, they found 10,000, people found 10 times the number of geocaches doing the 31 days of geocaching than they did in August 2012. August 2nd was very important to me because wife Amy and I got married on August 2nd. We went to the little the get-together after all that was there, and her husband or her dad actually got the shotgun and put it away, and so everybody relaxed. and we finished up going to the event. She said, okay, let's go get the geocache. And off we went. Found a geocache on our honeymoon day. So, yeah, people take things really serious. Let's see, real quickly, 2012 was Leap Day. So that tells you how time flies with that. That's another 4 years. Worldwide Flash Mob, International Geocaching Day. And back then in 2012, it was the second International Geocaching Day. And of course, you had 12-12-12. So those were the last years where we could really get things, you know, the 12-12-12, the 10-10-10, you know, the 11-11-11, all those. 2011 had very little. I think this was before souvenirs were really starting to pick off. So they had International Geocaching Day in 2011. 2010 had something called GeoCrush. Now, GeoCrush, there were four souvenirs, and this was really some of the first souvenirs that that geocaching.com were putting. It was an event that was art-themed in the area of Puget Sound of Washington State, and basically you had to go to these specially made sculptures. And I don't know if it was like a Where I Go or a virtual or what have you. But whatever you did, they had the books and music, the dance, the theater, and the visual art souvenirs that you could get with this. And those were probably one of the first times that they actually tried doing, going to and then having a series of souvenirs for that. They had the Lost and Found set celebration, which happened on the 4th of July of 2010, which they brought together thousands of geocachers, dozens of lackeys, Groundspeak's mascot, Signal the Frog, the Bubble Man, and a dunk tank at the founders of geocaching.com. And then, of course, you had 10-10-10. Huh? A dunk tank. Do you know what that is?
No.
Okay. Basically, you take the favorite person that you love to hate, and you suspend them on a them and have them sit on a plank, literally, that is supported above a dunking pool. And usually people throw things like baseballs at a target, something like that. If you hit the target, said person goes for a swim. So that's what a dunk tank is.
I know who you put up there.
I got some suggestions. I'm just saying.
Went 3 for 3 on my boss 1 year.
There you go. That's a great way to do it, especially if you're really good at softball. It's a great thing to have. That was the years. That's when souvenirs stopped by. The only other ones that they recognize as unique souvenirs is the original Stash tribute plaque and the Project Ape Cache. Those are the two uniques that they have. So that gives you a history of all the different souvenirs over the past 7 years or so. Now this year, so let's do this real quick. We're going to go over the Geocaching 2017 summer promotion, and I'll let you guys. I'll do the first part, guys, and then you guys can kind of divvy up the weeks. But basically, it goes like this, and this came from Chris Ronan. It said, "Greetings, fellow treasure seekers. It's time to give a heads up about geocaching's 2017 summer promotion spanning the globe and the seven seas. All ages can enjoy geocaching in a fun new way this summer. The infamous, I don't know how infamous, I've just heard of her, Captain Mary Hyde is challenging geocachers to build a crew and claim the treasure unknown." I love that. Her ship, the Golden Cache, was the fiercest, and bearded buccaneers and sea-legged sailors reported to her. Legend has it that she ruled the high seas for many years and found no shortage of riches throughout her reign. We all love shinies, I'm just saying. We've come upon a battered letter found in a bottle on the shore near Geocaching HQ with the infamous crest of the Captain Mary Hyde. Now, I want to know that because they're landlocked. I'm just saying how that worked. I'm questioning. It seems there is seagulls. It seems there is one last treasure yet to be found. Make your way through a 4-week souvenir journey to find the lost treasure of Mary Hyde. Up to 6 digital souvenir moments are up for grabs, and on the geocaching.com is something new to be had. So I'll let you guys kind of divvy up the weeks. Chad, why don't you start off, and we'll just tell the different weeks that you can go through this.
I will say that you can get within probably about 500 feet of water source to the ocean from geocaching headquarters.
Okay. I sit corrected. It washed up through the inlets.
Fremont Bridge.
I'm not going to carry this.
Yeah, not so many alligators out there, but yeah. Seagull carried it, probably.
Seagull, yeah. Seed hurdles.
Yeah, July 15th, 16th. Build your crew by attending or hosting an event and earn a souvenir. The more friends you have on geocaching.com, the easier it will be to keep sailing on.
Awesome.
Yeah, so plan those events. I think there's one in New Zealand I know of that day, but it's not local.
All righty.
July 17th to 23, though the treasure may seem far away, if you work together, you'll earn the first map piece one day.
Awesome. I'll pick up the next one. July 24th through the 30th, don't be afraid to take the lead to earn the next map piece. You already have everything you need.
July 31st through August 6th, when you work with a crew, earning the third map piece becomes easier to do.
And finally, August 7th to 13th, challenge yourself to earn the last piece, or else the search for lost treasure will never cease.
Boy, I want to know how much time they spent on this poetry. I'm just saying. Good job, though, guys. This is awesome. I do like that. So obviously you get some really good pirate things to do here, which is awesome. So I want to know how many people are going to go geocaching as a pirate. I'm just wondering. So visit the geocaching blog for more about Captain Mary Hyde and her lost treasure. More clues are forthcoming in the coming weeks as the mystery unfolds. Just check it out, Captain Mary Hyde. Make me walk the plank if I reveal any more secrets, per Chris Ronan. So I'm just saying, excellent, cool stuff. More fun to do, something to do through July through August, and get your pirate on.
Yeah,
lots of
fun trying to work out what they're going to be.
Yeah, should be fun.
I wonder if it's making you actually team up with other. It sounds like it could actually be making you team up with other people to put information together.
I'm thinking, well, the more the merrier, because obviously this is going to have puzzle aspects to it. So the more eyes, the better in a case like this, at least for me. So I'm just saying. All right. Well, good stuff. Good stuff. All right. Well, folks, there you go. Everything you wanted to know about souvenirs and Too Afraid to Ask. Again, we'll have links in the show notes for everything, including this summer's promotion. And again, thank you and kudos to Geocaching HQ for coming up with these cool ideas, because it really does. I love the extra emphasis on creativity with these. And it gets you out and go out and do some geocaching. Good stuff. All right, let's wrap this puppy up. And again, thank you to Taz and Sarah for stopping on by as they do each week. Scott is out still moving, and the guys are just hitting home runs all over the place. So baseball season is full swing for him. He will be coming in I think July, he said, for that. Now, for the people that are asking, next week is episode 500. Now, I was thinking about this with Scott being out. I just didn't feel it fair trying to put the pressure on him to show up and do our celebration for the 500. So what I'd like to do is we will do the standard episode next week for 500. Mm-hmm. When Scott gets back, we'll give him a week or so. I'm going to set up a reunion show. And what I'm going to try to do is get as many people as we can that were with the Geocaching podcast since it began. So we're going to try to get X-Punk X and Daryl W4 and the bad cop, now known as Chris from the Northwest, and many of the other guests, or not necessarily the guests, but the hosts that have been in through the years with us. And we'll have a whole reunion show for that. I think that's the best way to do it. So keep in mind, we'll tell more about that when we get closer to it. But 500 for next week, guys. Just saying. Hokey smokes Bullwinkle. All right. I want to thank you fine folks for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast and showing up each and every week. We greatly do appreciate it. Let's move on. Oh, let's do that again. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast, right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production. It is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Chad Courtney, and Sarah T.S. This show is copyright 2017 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.